Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe.
Sam Martin, the veteran, for the punt, and Marcus Jones. There was no fair catch at the 12, and he squeezes out of it. Marcus Jones down the sideline. Walker's in front, past the punter. Marcus Jones, and that's a punt return for a touchdown.
Chris, you're so used to this fair catch happening. I think they shocked the Carolina Panthers. No fair catch, and then it's all individual effort by Jones. He's got a convoy of guys right here. Punter's not going to get him, and that is untouched for the touchdown.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Are you ready for a Patriots blowout, Keefe?
I am ready.
They needed that. They needed that one.
They now, really did.
I would have taken a 2-point win, and we could have been like, all right, you're 2-2. Let's see what happens this week. But no, you needed that one. The way things were going, you lost a couple of 50-50 games already to start the season. 1-2, not a great start. Carolina, not a great team. You're at home. You can't go to 0-3 at home, for God's sakes. And, not only did they get the win, they got some style points and smacked them around pretty good. So I will take it.
I agree with exactly what you said off the top. They needed it. They needed a beatdown like this, an easy one, or at least a stress-free one, like for the team.
Yeah.
Going into what will be a massive game this week against Buffalo. We said it all last week. You can't be 1-3 with three losses at home to the Raiders, who looked like trash again yesterday. Geno was terrible.
Ooh, Ashton Jeanty, though.
He looked great.
Guy was a beast.
I'm not taking any victory laps, but he looked great.
He was great.
Took him a while.
Yeah.
The Panthers, and then in the middle, Pittsburgh. Maybe Pittsburgh's a little better than we gave credit for.
Right.
If you watched that early game yesterday. But three losses, all winnable games at home going into Buffalo on national TV.
Forget it.
You're shaking your head.
These 9-10 win totals, you're like, there's no chance if you dig yourself that kind of hole.
Was a recipe for a big, giant no-no. This, they needed it.
Oh, my God, did they need it.
They needed it in the worst way. And look,
didn't start
Buffalo,
out that way.
No. Yeah. It's Buffalo, but then, Keith, it's New Orleans, Tennessee, Cleveland, Atlanta. Like, you want to let your mind start to wander a little bit after that Buffalo game. A win like this allows you to do that, a loss wouldn't allow you to do that.
They have, not to do the whole schedule game right now, they have three good teams left. And two of them are Buffalo. So two good teams. They have three tough games left. Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Because my guy Baker, I know they lost
Tampa, Buffalo, Buffalo. You're not counting our Super Bowl champion Baltimore on there anymore because they're now 1-3.
Oh, my bad. Four.
Okay.
So four tough games. Yeah, no. They are 1-3. Our defense isn't great. No.
I thought you would knock the Ravens out.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
No, that's just my eyesight looking at the schedule. I missed the little Raven logo.
Cincinnati looked like one of those games,
right,
and now without Burrow.
They were one of the ones, and now they're not. So I knew there was one less. But anyway, yeah, so it's Buffalo. So it's Josh Allen twice, it's Lamar, and it's Baker. You have a stretch where you can pile up a lot of wins. And this was obviously one of them. This might end up being one of the worst teams that you face, but there's a pile of them. There's a lot of teams kind of similar to Carolina. So what was that going to look like? Are you showing any kind of improvement as it goes on? And I'll tell you, the first 5 minutes of the game, you're thinking, maybe not.
It was so bad.
Like, oh, wow.
The start was so unbelievably bad. I don't know what Vrabel does Monday through Saturday. Like, I really have no clue what he's doing.
Hard to say.
Getting the team ready. And
it was
or the
a slower
lack of
start
getting
than
the
I
team
wanted,
ready.
But then they were a house of fire. But yeah, it was the combination. And once again, we say this about the first two home games that they had. It was not just a slow start defensively, but offensively as well. So they give up a 7-play, 76-yard drive, and you're like, what?
And it was
to Carolina.
I can't believe it took seven plays. That was so easy. I can't even believe it took that long. I felt like 2 plays. They just marched right down the field.
No, it was a 12-yard run, a 9-yard run, penalty in there, 9-yard pass, 3-yard run, 16-yard pass, 16-yard pass, 7-yard touchdown pass. You're like, geez.
So
you guys want to mix in like a stop in here?
So
unbelievably something? Easy. Then the Pats go three and out. Drake is lucky he didn't throw a pick.
Really, no,
probably his only bad throw of the day was his first throw of
although,
the day.
Although, I'll tell you what, missed extra point is always a sign of, like, you're kind of
coming
just
back to you.
Yeah. And so you do that, and so Carolina has this great momentum. They go all the way down the field, and it looked like they had no resistance at all. You missed the point. There's just something about it. We're like, oh, it's 6-0? You had that awesome drive, and it's 6-0, not 7-0. And then the Patriots give the ball right back to him. Yeah, thank you. And then the Patriots give the ball back to him. And you're like, is this going to be like a grind it game? No, it's not. And you can thank Marcus Jones for that because he is the best punt returner in football.
Well, we gave him two Pro Bowlers before the year,
right? He was one of them
because they're going to worm out a couple of special teams Pro Bowlers. But you're right. I mean, they were marching down the field again.
Yeah.
8 yards, 4 yards, another penalty on the Patriots. 15 yards, incompletion, 2 yard run on third down, which I don't know what they were doing on third down.
Carolina's first two possessions, they racked up over 100 yards.
Yeah.
You know, and then Marcus Jones is like, I'll take it from here.
They decided not to kick a field goal. They decided not to even try on third down. Then they decided not to kick a field goal. Schlereth, who I thought was mostly good on the broadcast yesterday, he's good with afternoons, was like, hey, this is a good job, good decision to punt. They punt to Marcus Jones, and he turns the game around. Like, single-handedly turns the game around.
And this was we all saw it. It was an incredible return. You know, when they gave up the punt return a couple weeks ago, it was one of those where it was such a blast that the guy catches it and there's no one around him. And you're like, okay.
He's just got lots of real estate.
He kind of dances, it's tough, and then he makes a couple guys miss. This was wild because it looked like he was bottled up. And you're like, okay, whatever. Like, he's taking a chance, kind of risky. You're like, oh, he's still going. And then it was one of those ones where, like, there was like eight guys in the end zone with him. Like, everybody was free. There was guys past him. Like, where is everybody?
I know eventually
Carolina?
He got tackled by the punter on the one later in the first half.
Another one, yeah.
But the second you saw the blocking convoy and just the punter, you're like, oh, he's gone.
This guy.
He is like, out.
This guy. See you later.
So an unbelievable.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Unbelievable punt return yesterday, which really did turn the game around. I don't think that's oversimplifying anything yesterday.
No, not at all.
I'm sure you've seen this stat. With 167 return yards on three punt returns, he set the single-game franchise record passing Mike Haynes back in 1976. That's a record that stood for a long period of time. And he had three of them yesterday. It was a 19-yarder as well. He could have had a second one that he took back to the house. Mm-hmm. Excellent game for him. I like this answer from Marcus Jones after the game. This is a good way to describe Marcus Jones, the punt returner.
Marcus, congrats on your big day today.
Appreciate it.
On the broadcast, they were surprised you didn't fair catch the punt that you took back.
Yeah.
It was pretty deep. Do you have, like, given your skills, do you have, like, special rules with the coaches that you're allowed to return more? Or did you think about fair catching there? Or, you know, what went through your mind, I guess?
I'm pretty ruthless back there. So mainly what I kind of worry about is the gunners. You know, if the gunners are blocked, then I'm like, all right, I can kind of return it. So I had a little bit of space, and I was just like, man, I know those guys trust me a lot and everything, and I trust them, you know, to make the right block. So we kind of went from there.
Ruthless.
I'm a little ruthless back there.
Good word.
I love it. It's like, well, if the gunners are blocked, nobody else was, and you still grabbed it. There's like three guys around you, and then he made a play. But no, we knew, like, watching him his whole career, he's a real weapon. And I know the jokes last year were about, hey, Alex Van Pelt, you know he plays offense, right? But even aside from that, like, just anytime he gets the ball kicked to him, he's a guy that can tilt the field. Like, he's getting to the point now where if you're the other team, you need to consider, like, I don't know, we might give up some field position and just kick it out of bounds. Like, don't even kick to this guy.
I was surprised they kept kicking to him.
Yeah, right. He just showed you, and then they're like, "Let's try it again." And it's like, then he almost did it again.
Then they did it again.
Yeah. No, like, well, they're like, the Panthers. Okay. They're the Panthers. I don't think the Bills are going to kick to him five times.
So I think that's a relevant piece to this game, and you guys can discuss all day long on a Patriots Monday. Pats win 42-13. They are back to 500. Massive game on Sunday Night Football in Buffalo against the Bills. We'll be talking about that all week long as well. It's 617-779-7937, your phone and text number. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat Twitch, which
back,
is back, by
back
the way.
Up and running.
You can do the same on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI.
He leads the league in punt return yards.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a stud. That
I would awesome. Say after yesterday, I would hope so. The special teams, Marcus Jones and his impact is the Pepsi key takeaway brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Was yesterday, Keith, about the Patriots, or was yesterday about the dog crap team on the other side, the Carolina Panthers?
No, I'm going to give the Patriots credit. You know, I think we said how they needed this, but they, after a bad series for both the offense and the defense, they did respond. And I think in part they're going to have a good record because they play a lot of bad teams. But you still have to beat those bad teams, right? Like the Raiders aren't a great team, and they lost that game, and that was on them. I will give them credit for taking this Carolina team and just really second quarter on destroying them. And just like they played well. They played well on both sides of the ball. And it's not a one-off. You know, it's not like Carolina is the only team with a bad coach and quarterback that you're going to see all year. Like, more than half their schedule is like this. So I guess in a Weasley way, I'm sort of answering it both ways. But, you know, because that team is not very good. So you need to take advantage of their mistakes and you know, the stuff that they can't do. We went in on Friday saying they got one rookie receiver who's pretty good, nobody else. They got Chuba Hubbard who's fine. That's it. We always play the game on Friday. What one player would you want on the other team? We're like, I don't know.
It's a hard week.
J.C. Horn, I guess. Like, we didn't really want it. Like, no, nobody? Can we get two next week? Can we get two Bills and
can we
these
save
guys?
One? Yeah.
I don't want anybody.
We'll treat it like Kraft treats the salary cap. Let's roll that over to next week. Yeah.
I'll take this roster. But, like, the league very much it has this giant middle ground. Like, most of the league is in the middle and at the end of the year could be separated by 2, 3, 4 wins. And so you have to win this game. But they did it after that slow start so impressively that I'll say this was them. They deserve all the credit for this.
Yeah, I mean, my only gripe yesterday was the crappy start.
That was it, really.
And, you can't afford to do that against good teams. But here's the thing. I agree with you. I think this was more about the Patriots than about Carolina, who was, no matter how you want to spin it, a big factor. That is a bad team. I can't believe Nick picked them to go to the playoffs. That's embarrassing. That Nick had Carolina as a playoff team in our preseason predictions.
I should have picked the Chargers.
That is just a really embarrassing thing.
Chargers down bad today, too.
Titans, the Titans stink, too. I can't believe I picked them.
Yeah, bad picks. Just terrible picks by Nick.
That's right.
Pretty embarrassing.
Jones picked the Panthers and the Titans. Now, there is something to be said about going bold.
1-7 right now, combined. Yeah, which is not looking so great.
No.
But look.
And the Titans head coach is trying to fight people after the press conference.
No, I think we need him fired to turn the Titans season around. But when it comes to the Panthers, they're a big factor yesterday. Yeah. There's no getting around it. But here's the thing. Even if your answer is, yesterday was about the Trash Panthers and not about the Patriots, and it was just some long returns from the punt returner and a missed field goal that gave the Patriots a short field, because I am a little cautious of the McDaniels mafia that's out there today. Like, the people that are like, oh, Josh McDaniels is in his bag yesterday.
Yeah.
All the usual suspects on the Patriots beat, like, who, you know, who like Josh McDaniels and probably get information from Josh McDaniels. Like, yeah. I'm a little skeptical of the McDaniels mafia today. They had all short fields, and Marcus Jones was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I want to see how that develops against a team like Buffalo. But even if your answer is Carolina's terrible and come talk to me a week from now. Well, Keith, I give the Patriots credit because Vegas is terrible, and they lost to them.
Safe.
Pittsburgh, I don't think, is very good.
No, they got a good record, but
Miami isn't good, and the Patriots barely beat that team. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know they could even beat bad teams. So I'll give the Patriots credit for that. And if your answer is Carolina, the good news is the whole schedule is loaded with teams like Carolina, New Orleans, Tennessee, who we were just talking about, Cleveland, Atlanta. You get the Jets a couple of times in there. The Giants, I know they won yesterday with Jackson Dart. Miami again. Like, this is why in the preseason we were talking about the Patriots as a playoff team. There's so many of these games, and I think now we know the Patriots should be able to beat this caliber of team. I thought they could. The other opportunities they had, they didn't really do it. Now they did it. So I do think yesterday was more about the Patriots.
Yeah, because I think the question going into the year was, would other teams like Carolina, Cleveland, New Orleans look at the Patriots and be like, hey, this is our week to win? Or would you say, no, that's another team that is a notch above them? Because there needs to be a separation there. Like, you might not be Philadelphia or Buffalo. I would say Baltimore, but they're actually off to a terrible start. You have a better record than Baltimore. But you know what I mean? Like, those top kind of Super Bowl contending teams, can you be ahead of, like, the rest of the pack? And that's why I think this was such a massive game for Mike Vrabel. Like, this was significant. Because if they were 1-3, and if they had lost all these very winnable games so far to start the year, you're like, just give Gerard Mayo another season. Like, at that point, if you're 1-3 with this, like, you need to be able to turn it around, because you don't have a tough game until Week 5. And then if you're, like, stumbling over yourself, you're not making any kind of corrections. You know, this is a team going into the game with a million penalties, a million turnovers. You're like, all right, what are you doing? Like, are you making this team more professional or not? So they desperately needed it. The whole squad needed it. But I think Vrabel individually probably needed it the most.
Agreed. And I want to get to his what this says about him. And we questioned it going in. So I'll give him some credit coming out. But when it comes to the performance yesterday, it wasn't a close game. Like, this wasn't a final possession, close game, white knuckle, hang on to your hat sort of win over Carolina. Because then I might say, boy, that you barely beat this trash Panthers team.
Right, right.
You blew them out.
Oh, you smoked them.
You know, yep. And so it didn't start great, but whatever. You're allowed to have a bad start if you're going to put up 42 points and dominate going away. So that's why I give them credit for that yesterday, but perhaps you disagree. Who was it more about, the Panthers or the Patriots yesterday? And even if you answer the Panthers, the good news is there's a lot more easy teams on this schedule. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number here on a Patriots Monday. We'll get to what happened in week 4 of the NFL coming up a little over an hour from now at 11:30. As we do every Monday, we'll talk to Hunter Henry and Christian Ellis, as we do every Monday, and we'll get to the Red Sox later on in the show.
Yes, sir.
They are a playoff team.
You better believe it.
They get the Yankees.
Good.
Friday night was awesome.
It was.
Didn't start awesome, but it was awesome.
Yep.
And so we'll get to the Red Sox later on in the show as well with all your phone calls. Again, it's 617-779-7937. Reminder, Football Talk on WEEI presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. You can watch your local game every Sunday, all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You started to get to this, Keith, but what does yesterday's win and the whole week resulting in a blowout win say about Mike Vrabel?
It says, you know, maybe he was the right call, right? Or at least, you know, it's still TBD. He's not the wrong call. He's not the wrong choice. And his team has listened to him. His team has responded. It's 1 week. You want to see him kind of pair some of these together and keep it going. But the difference between 1-3 and 2-2, despite it being just one game in the loss column and one game different, was massive based on the teams that you were playing. And we're like, all right, there's a lot going on this week. You know, Ramondre Stevenson. What are you going to do with Ramondre Stevenson? I can't say I agree with it.
Me neither.
But the first play of the game, they hand the ball to Ramondre Stevenson. I'm like, this guy shouldn't even be out there. And he shouldn't be active. If he is active, he shouldn't be starting. But he does. He tries to try to send a message. And we'll see in the long run if that ends up paying off. But the team was early on, you're like, all right, is it going to be like last year? How much better is this team going to be? And they responded. They definitely needed it, especially at home, that aspect of it too. So doesn't mean that like smooth sailing necessarily the rest of the way, but on a week-to-week basis, this was a really good response to how the week 3 game went. And now you feel like a little bit better, right? You can like a little bit of a sigh of relief. But yeah, for Mike Vrabel, like, you would have felt so polar opposite had this game gone the other way.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, good. Like, this is like check mark for Mike Vrabel.
What it says about Vrabel is he's not going to let it be a Mayo-esque disaster. That's not going to happen with Mike Vrabel. And I've drawn a parallel to the Patriots from a year ago and how they looked, and they're not that different than Gerard Mayo's team. They're undisciplined. They turn it over. He says questionable things here and there. But he's not going to let it be a full-blown disaster.
Yeah.
I'm sure the schedule goes hand-in-hand in that. But through 2 weeks, Keith, or there have been two different games in the first month, rather, where we've come in and said, Vrabel's on trial. Like, the whole thing is on trial top to bottom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they answered the bell against the Dolphins in week 2. They did it again yesterday. So Vrabel is a good enough head coach and has a strong enough hold on the team, and I think we can see that through the first month. He's not going to let it be a disaster.
Right.
They may not make the playoffs. They may not win as many games as we want. They are still too undisciplined, 7 penalties, 53 yards. I didn't like how he handled the Ramondre Stevenson thing, or even Pop Douglas, though I preferred how he handled that comparatively.
Uh-huh.
He's still going to say things that piss me off, and the team still does not know how to start games. You gave him the advice, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him they're starting at 12:30.
You might have to go earlier now.
Noon?
Maybe high noon? Yeah, high noon. The game's at high noon. Actually, guys, next week, 7.
Guys, the game is, oh yeah, you're right. You're right, you're right. For next week. But in general, 1 o'clock game, let them know it's starting at high noon because they can't start on time. But all those gripes, all those nitpicks aside, I think we learned he's not going to let the bottom fall out. And
right.
I was questioning going into last week if the bottom was going to fall out. And
yeah.
He's not going to let that happen.
Because I wonder if just locally, overall, Vrabel was being a little bit overrated. I think people liked the hire. He wasn't neither of our first choices, but we're like, all right, it's a real head coach, a real guy, and you know, we'll see where it goes. There was some success there in Tennessee, and not even having a great quarterback, got to an AFC title game. And on a week-to-week basis, it's not as simple as this, but you usually look at like the head coach-quarterback combination. And if you're like, if Mike Vrabel, Drake May can't beat Dave Canales and Bryce Young, going to be a long year. going to be a really long year.
Yeah.
And so not only did they beat them, but it wasn't even close. You're like, all right, great. Like, that is at least a step forward where who knows where this season is going to end. We all have our predictions for it. But if you're able to beat those bad teams, because there are so many bad teams. There are so many
in the league,
NFL.
And there's specifically, so many. They're all on your schedule.
Yeah, you happen to play them all. But I'm just saying, like, in general, like, there's a lot. Like, every team has to look at their schedule. There's always there's at least a trash bag team, like, in every division.
Yeah.
And then you play another division. So now you're starting to count these games. Even teams with tough schedules have, like, five trash bag opponents. You happen to have more because of the way they balance and the parity that they want. But, yeah, this was a good step forward.
Okay, what did yesterday say about Mike Vrabel, how the team responded to Mike Vrabel, which I...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Question going in, and he gets a big check mark for that. Did yesterday say more about the Patriots or the Panthers in a Patriots blowout win that gets them back to 2-2, 500 with a massive game Sunday night in Buffalo? Again, you could discuss all day long. 617-779-7937 here on a Patriots Monday with Jones and Keith. Keith mentioned the coach and the quarterback. We talked about the coach. Let's get to the QB. Is Drake May blossoming right before our eyes? That's right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.